Again, it's a great blessing to be here. Very thankful to see each and every one of you. I want to thank everyone for their labors and their work last weekend during the meeting and to help put the meeting on. You know, it's not something just a few folks can do. We know that as our congregation grows older, we stand in need of those who are younger to step up. And I'm very thankful for the labors and the efforts that took place in the church to put on the one annual meeting that we have. We just have one a year, and it's in our hands, especially those, as I said, I'm getting old enough that a lot of people think I'm really old, but I still consider myself to be fairly young, and so, you know, we are very thankful at the church here for the efforts and labors of those who helped to do what was necessary to have our meeting last week. Brother Marty wanted to thank the church for their generosity, their kindness, and their love, and we certainly were blessed to hear him preach the Word of God, and again, we're thankful to God that we were able to meet again in His name and to hear the glorious Word of the Lord preached. He had a verse, a number of things that stuck on my mind that Brother Marty spoke on last week, but he mentioned a verse that kind of has hung in my mind, and if the Lord would bless me this morning and you would continue to pray for me and yourselves that the Lord would give me the thoughts that I need and being able to proclaim His glorious Word, that we might touch upon this here for a little bit this morning. We find in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days." Now, I'm going to elaborate on that, if Lord be my helper, quite a bit further. But I want us to think about the first phrase in that verse this morning, "For he that will love life and see good days." As I have lived on this earth for some 55 years, it's apparent to me that there are many people, and even many of God's people, who do not seem to really love life. And there are many of them who do not seem to have very many good days. But Peter here is quoting the psalmist David, I believe, out of Psalms chapter 34. What's interesting is, let's notice the language of David. It's a little different, but it is the same language. We find in verse 12 of Psalm 34, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" The question that I pose to you today and to myself, do you really love life? Do you see more good days than bad days? You know, there are folks in this world, if it wasn't for bad days, they wouldn't have any days. But I believe that's all in our perspective and how we view life. The fact is, if you're not seeing good days and you're not really enjoying and loving life, do you believe it's a possibility? Do you believe that you have the power dwelling within you to transform your life, to see things different? You know, we have struggles in life. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulations." You know, the folks that Peter's talking about here and the folks that David the psalmist was talking about are not folks for whom God eliminated every problem that they ever had and they never had another ounce of trouble. They are folks who were like the Apostle Paul, who said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Until you gather up that attitude, until you have that approach on life, it's hard sometimes for us to see good days. Because all we do is look at the bad. You know, there are folks who are always pessimist, and there are folks who are optimist. There are folks, when you talk to them, they never had a good day, they never felt good, they've always got a problem. But I tell you, the world's filled with goodness if we'll just look around. The Lord has exhibited that to us as we journey through this life. "For he that will love life and see good days." Do you desire life? Do you desire many days that you might see good in that time? You know, there was a many, many years that separated the Apostle Peter and the psalmist David. Yet, Peter quoted David because it was applicable in the New Testament epistle just as it was in the Old Testament. There are folks that believe that life is nothing but a bunch of bad days, and that one day, they believe this, they will close their eyes in death and open their eyes in glory, and then everything will be good. And it will. I can assure you of that. But the Bible teaches me that you can have good days And you can love the life that you're living right here and now. The question that I pose to everyone here and to any child of God is, do you really love life? And do you have far more good days than you do bad days? Keep that in mind as we go forward this morning. And if it's not the case, do you believe that it's a possibility? Do you believe that the power of God's words can change your life to where your view of life is different than it might have once been? Do you believe you can be transformed? Do you believe in that power? I want to go over to Hebrews 3 and 4 for just a few moments. In Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, we're told that there is a rest available to the children of God. And the apostle here begins to compare that rest to the children of God in the wilderness. They did not enter into that rest. Now, I want to make one thing clear. A lot of times when we think about rest, we think rest is when we cease from labor. But Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Bible tells us that to enter into the rest of Jesus Christ, we must labor. We must make an effort to enter into that rest. We don't just stop doing anything and sit back and enter into that rest. That's what rest means to a lot of folks, is to quit doing anything. But the Bible tells us to enter into that rest and that joy and that peace that can only come by Jesus Christ takes a labor and an effort on our part. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He begins by saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." It's all about Jesus Christ, and we're going to figure that out as we go along. But the children of Israel erred in their heart, and they would not enter in to God's rest. You know, I love what Brother Marty said, and I tell you, I believe it is so appropriate. He said it from Mount Sinai to the land of Canaan to the promised land was only an 11-day journey. Yet the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. How close is Jesus Christ to you today, and yet how far a distance are you from him? 11-day journey into the promised land, and yet they wandered out there around and around that mountain for 40 years. Is it possible that Jesus Christ is nigh unto you, and yet there's a great distance between you and him at this time? Think about that for just a moment. We can be so close and yet so far away. Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." We know he's close and he's at hand. But because of disobedience, the children of Israel did not enter into God's rest. They did not enter into the promised land. They were filled with unbelief. If you sat here today and you answered that question that life is not very good, I have far more bad days than I do good days, then you don't believe the power of God's word to transform and change your life. It doesn't mean that once you believe, all those things will be eliminated. You know, the Apostle Paul and Silas were in prison in the book of Acts, and they were chained in chains, and they sang songs of praise at night. A lot of this is in our perspective and how we view life. Do we choose to see the good even the most darkest situations of our life? It's there. It really is. But some of us dwell upon the dark days and the bad things and the negatives of life to the point that we become that. But we have a hope in Jesus Christ that ought to lift us from that type of life, that we look forward unto the glory of God. But the children of Israel did not enter into that rest. I believe we must enter into the rest of Jesus Christ if we're to live life and love it and to see good days. If we're desiring many days upon this earth, we can only do it when we're resting in Jesus Christ, not in this world. We notice in chapter 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." See, they didn't believe back there, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, even though it was just an 11-day journey to the promised land. Jesus Christ can be so near today and yet so far from us, can he? And the Bible tells us that's because of unbelief. You know, Paul didn't have a perfect life. Yet he had a positive attitude because his attitude and his focus was on Jesus Christ. You cannot possibly say for me to live is Christ and to die is gain unless your focus is where it ought to be, unless you're filled with belief. Notice what the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe? If you don't love life and your days haven't been good, do you believe that it's possible that your life can be changed and transformed, that you can love life, that you can see good days? Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 1, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, not to the non-elect, not to those who don't believe. We're told that it is the power of God. It has the power to transform your life and to change your attitude, to change your perspective, to change how you look at things as you live here in this life. For he that will love life and see good days, he that desires many days that he might see good, as David said. It's a possibility and it's a real possibility. And we'll look at what it takes. But those folks were filled with unbelief. We're told in Mark chapter 9, as the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Do you believe that you can change? If you don't have a positive attitude and a good outlook on life, if you don't love life and you don't see more good days and bad days, do you believe that you can that change? There's things that can change your life? I believe the Word of God can change your life. The power of God can change your life. Back over there, and let's notice in Hebrews chapter 4. Keep getting back over there and lose my place here. He says in verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit into the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we know that God spoke life into your heart. We know that if you're a child of God, it's by the powerful voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he quickened you and made you alive, we know that. But if you believe, if you're a child of God, the gospel has the power to transform your life. It really does. The words of God. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not to the unbeliever, not to the non-elect. But it is a power of God available to the child of God. It's his words. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can make a great difference in our life. Now, when we get back over into the book of Peter, I want us to think about some things as we go forward. We're told in verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days. But I want to back up. In the first seven verses of this chapter, he's talking to husbands and wives. And in verse 8, he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous. He's talking about how husbands and wives ought to treat each other and how brothers and brothers and sisters ought to treat each other. How we ought to love one another. How we ought to have compassion for one another. We ought to love as brethren all the time. We ought to be pitiful one to the other, sympathetic, tender-hearted to one another, just as a husband and a wife should be sympathetic and tender-hearted toward each other. Be courteous. That means to be friendly. Have a friendly mind one to the other. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Remember a few weeks ago when it says recompense no evil to no man, evil for evil. Romans chapter 12. That's what Paul said. Peter says the same thing. Do not repay evil for evil or railing for railing. In other words, if someone insults you, don't go insult them. He goes on here and he says, contrarywise. In other words, opposite of that, bless them. Now this goes right in the face of our human nature, doesn't it? When somebody brings evil on you or an unrighteous act in your life, And remember, we're talking about husbands, wives, brothers and sisters. We're not to go back and bring evil on them. If they insult you, you're not to insult them. But contrary to that, you're to bless them. And I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them to despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which art in heaven. Think about it for a minute. This is not an easy thing to do, is it? And without the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are incapable of doing it. Is it possible that we can do that? I believe so. I believe the Bible teaches us that it's very possible that those changes can take place. Our human nature tells us to get even. But the Lord says, bless them when they do wrong to you. When somebody commits an unrighteous act towards you, we're to bless them and to pray for them. We're not to do the same thing to them. If they insult you with heartless language, you're not to turn around and do the same unto them. You're to bless them. Pray for them. It says, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. I find that very interesting in Scripture, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know, there's a lot of people believe that it is your good behavior that causes you to inherit the blessing of eternal life. That's not what is under consideration here at all, is it? You and I will live in heaven and inherit the blessing of eternal life based entirely upon what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. Not anything that you and I did. Not our good behavior, not walking in the right direction. But the Bible says here that when we don't bring evil on someone for the evil that they brought to us, when we don't insult them as they've insulted us, but bless them, that we'll inherit a blessing. It's in time. Remember what it said in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, as we spoke of a few weeks ago. He says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Inherit all things. Not just when we get to glory, but every day we live in this life. When our conduct and behavior is according to the Word of God, the Bible tells us that God will reward us, or that we will inherit a blessing. Now, we ought not to just do it for that purpose. We ought to do it out of the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, it interests me to inherit the blessings of Almighty God while I journey here in this land. I hope it does you. We get on to verse 10. It says, for he that will love life and see good days. I thought about this verse. What does it mean to love life? Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The same Greek word is used in the words that Jesus spoke in John 14, as the Apostle Peter used in this verse. It means a lifetime. Jesus is our life. Notice what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him. But he is our life, not just when he appears, right now. He is our life. For he that will love life, I believe that's a lifetime of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's one thing to say I love the Lord. It's another thing to show the Lord that you love him. The Bible tells us that we're not just to tell our husband or our wife, our brother or our sister, or our children that we just love them. We're to show them that we love them by our actions. Jesus Christ showed us, didn't he? When he stood in our room instead and died for the sins that you and I committed. He did. I am the way, the truth, and the life. For he that will love life and see good days. I believe that's a life filled with Jesus Christ being the preeminence in your life. Now, those good days come with the Lord. Let's go over to John chapter 14. And let's see what it means to love life, to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the Bible tells us in no other way how we can grade ourselves if it was. Are we living up to that standard? Verse 15 says, if you love me, these are the words of Jesus, red letters, keep my commandments. But I want to go down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Not word, words. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you believe that the words of Almighty God can transform or change your life? Do you believe that if you're a pessimist, you can become an optimist? With Jesus Christ, you can. You know, Paul could have been the greatest pessimist that ever lived, but he always focused and had his view upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, for me to live is Christ, he meant it. Can you say the same thing? For me to live here in this life is Christ? Christ didn't say you wouldn't have no more troubles, did he? In this world ye shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, in him you can find peace. In him we can find rest and joy and hope. And we can love life and we can see good days. Even your worst day, you'll find some good in it. It's all about our attitude and our perception of things. When we get in an attitude of being negative, I tell you what, it can become a habit that sometimes many folks can't get out of. I've seen it in my own family. Negativism can be a real problem in the life of people. But we ought to be the most positive people that ever lived. Because of Jesus Christ, not only are we blessed to live in this glorious creation that he's let us live in, but one day we're going to live in glory. Something that we can't even imagine. We're going to live there one day. But we ought to live a full and happy life right here now. For he that will love life and see good days. It is he that keeps my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I can tell you right now, you will never be able to truly love life and see good days unless your Father, your heavenly Father, your dad in heaven, and your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made their abode with you. Really. If you think you can do it on your own, you can't. But with the strength of Jesus Christ, if he's made his abode with you every day, if you're keeping his words, then you can love life, truly love life. You can get through all the struggles and all the challenges and all the things that will come your way in life. And you can see many more good days than you'll ever see bad days. Because of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is our life, as Paul said. But just as it was with the children of Israel, they were filled with unbelief. An 11-day journey to the promised land, and yet they wandered in the wilderness because of disobedience for 40 years. How something can be so close and yet so far. I believe that's applicable today in our lives. Christ is so close, but yet he can be so far because of unbelief and disobedience in our lives. If you keep my words, not my word, not just on Sunday morning, if you keep my words every day of the week, if you walk in the path that I've given you, the example that I've taught you, I will come, the Lord said, and I will make my abode with you. And I tell you, when the Lord's with you, you can get through anything. No matter how great, how tall the mountain is or deep the valley is, you can go through it if the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. David knew that, didn't he? Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David knew it. You know, David had he had a lot of bad days if you read the story about David. But David had the Lord. The Lord was his strength. He said the same thing over here. Notice what he says in Psalms 34. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? He said, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile, deceit. The Apostle Peter said the same thing. He said, For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Isn't it an amazing thing, the little matter of the tongue and how great a fire it kindleth? James tells us that a perfect man, not one who's sinless, but one who is mature, a mature Christian, a complete Christian, not only can he bridle his tongue, but if he can bridle his tongue, he can bridle his whole body. Isn't that an amazing thing? If you can control your tongue, you can control your body. But if you can't control your mouth, it's unlikely you can control your body. The Lord says that. He makes it clear. In both of these cases, it says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. It's just amazing how much problems we have in this life because of our mouth. But that's what the Lord says. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. In other words, go away from it. Go out of the way. Do everything you can to avoid evil in your life. Do not be in its presence. Don't join in with it. Do all that you can to avoid it. And do good. Remember when we preached a couple weeks ago? Good, the power of good always overcomes the power of darkness. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's an amazing thing. Light always eradicates darkness, doesn't it? God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When the sun comes up in the morning, all the darkness is wiped out. Good has far more power than darkness. We need to use the good that God has given us. Remember what he said back up there earlier? That we're to be blessed by overcoming with good. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue after it. I ask you today, do you love life? Do you really love it? You know, it's one thing to say you love it, but do you really love life and enjoy it? Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a question that you and I can ask ourselves every day. And we're the only ones that can answer it. We're told that if you love me, you keep my words. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. If you really love me, it's because you keep my words. And he says, if you're keeping my words, I and my Father will come to you and make our abode with you. And when Jesus Christ is with you, you can withstand anything, any challenge or anything that comes your way in this life. Jesus said in John 15, just as I've stated many times, without me you can do nothing. But with him we can do all things, for we can love life and enjoy life. Just as David said also, he says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Peter said, he hears the prayers of the righteous. Are we praying as we ought to pray? Are we keeping his words? Part of that is let your tongue refrain from evil, from guile, from speaking deceit. Do not render evil for evil or railing for railing. You know, the questions that are brought forth there in those few verses are easy to understand. The tongue is a great problem. And if we want to love life and see good days, we need to depart from saying things we ought not to say. Paul said in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of thy mouth except that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may administer grace unto the hearer. In other words, if you ain't got something good to say, you oughtn't say anything at all. Do you want to inherit a blessing? Do you want to love life? It's a great possibility, because there's a power available to the child of God, and it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. It's to all his children. This power is not available to the wicked, to the non-elect. It'll do them no good at all. But the power of the gospel can change and transform our lives, our thinking, our attitudes, the way that we live in this world. Let's don't be one of those folks that wander around our entire life in disobedience and unbelief and do not reap the blessings of God Almighty while we live here on the earth. Unbelief is a terrible thing, and that's what happened to the children of Israel. If you view life in such a manner, if you're not really loving life and seeing good days, know that in the Word of God there is a power to transform your life, to make a change. I've seen a lot of people, and I know, and I've talked to them, they'll tell you they cannot change, but you can. The Word of God declares that you can. Without a doubt, I know you can. May God bless us to understand these things. May God bless us to enjoy life, to love life, and to see many good days. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.